Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Predators back on the ice tonight against the San Jose Sharks after 2 points against the Devils on Saturday. The guys back on the ice at Bridgestone Arena tonight against the San Jose Sharks again. That game, I believe pregame at 6, puck drop at 7, so make sure you check that out. We'll get into that a little bit later on with Chris Mason as he joins us. Again, 2 points for the Preds on Saturday night against the Devils. A huge win for them, even though the Devils aren't very good. But again, I think the big story with the Preds to me, not just the off-the-ice stuff with Peter Laviolette, Kyle Turris, but goaltending, who's going to be a net, as well as the younger sort of depth of this roster and organization really showing itself really well the last couple of weeks, now with injuries to Arvidsson, of course. So we'll see if continues. Daniel Carr getting his first goal on Saturday night. We'll see about if some of those young guys continue to show that they can provide support and depth the same way the Titans young guys are. Ty Smith blocks a kick and makes a huge play, returning a kick against the Colts, forces the fumble this weekend on the sideline that Jayon Brown picks up. So young guys are making plays for both the Titans and the Preds, sort of, maybe not young guys, but fringe roster guys, the bottom of the roster. And that's what you need if you're going to be a great team. Can the Titans be a great team is also a major question. What is the actual upside for the Tennessee Titans should they make the playoffs? I think we all, you know, if this continues, there's a 50% chance they make the playoffs. I think we all think that they can do it. What's their actual upside? Because with Mariota and the win over the Chiefs, I don't think anyone expected them to go into New England and win that game. Nobody thought they were going to win that game, and sure enough, it didn't happen. And also, they lost Jack Conklin in the process. What is this team's actual upside should they get into the playoffs? And does it depend on how they're slotted? Are they division champion? Do they host a game? Do they go on the road as a wild card? Does it matter? I mean, it should. What's their upside if they get to the playoffs?
Well, man, I think they would have to get... If they don't win a division, it's going to be tough for them, to get into the playoffs. They will still have a shot now because either way, they got the tiebreaker over, say if Oakland runs the table, finish at 9-7, they still got the tiebreaker over Oakland.
Same thing with Cleveland.
Indy doesn't seem like they're trending the wrong way. So that last spot is between the Titans and the Steelers. But if they are to get in the, if they were to get in the playoffs, depending on where they are slotted, and it seems like they would be that eighth team, to get into the playoffs. Well, 16, excuse me. I added two more player teams. The 16.
I think there's a lot of NFL fans that would be fine with the playoffs.
18, absolutely.
Especially this year.
They would be that sixth seed, basically. I think they can go into Buffalo if they had to play Buffalo and win. Or if Buffalo had to come here, I think they would win this go around. I don't know. The two teams that I think they would have a hard time with is possibly Kansas City, and I know Baltimore. They have a hard time with Baltimore. Maybe Kansas City. I just don't, because it seems like New England's defense, they're starting to feel some wear and tear on the season, too. Even though they're still not giving up a lot of points, they're giving up plays. The only team that I see that really I don't think they can beat is Baltimore. Anybody else, I think they beat New England. I think they could beat Kansas City. I think they could beat Buffalo, even though that would be a tough out, that because Buffalo's defense. And I think they can beat Houston. So
for some reason, Buffalo doesn't scare me in a playoff game here in Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, if they had to play them here, I think it would bode well for the Titans. Now, if they had to go to Buffalo and play,
different story. Yeah.
It would probably be a different story. I'm not saying they would lose, but
and I don't know. You can tell me if this is ridiculous or not, I guess. But I just think having lost two very difficult games to them this year and last year, all those guys are going to be so pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that Buffalo won't be too, but like. Josh Allen's not playing particularly well. He's turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think that – I know that there's this thing with the Bills that, like, the Titans just can't win that game right now, but that game doesn't scare me as much if the Titans win the division. The Chiefs don't scare me as much. We've seen them win. Now, they needed a block field goal, and they had the Chiefs attempted six field goals, and Patrick Mahomes threw for, like, 1,000 yards. Yeah. And, you know, it was fairly – I don't want to say lucky win. It was a hard-fought win. Baltimore's the only team, and part of the reason I wanted to ask this question is because yesterday you said this, that the only team that's playing better than the Titans in the AFC right now is Baltimore and the Ravens. That's the only team. And mm-hmm. and if that's the case, then isn't there upside AFC championship game?
Yeah, there is. I mean, that is a possibility. You know, but it's a possibility if they get in, they lose in the first round, too. Here's the one thing that I think that would hamper the Titans moving forward, because the teams that they would have to play, with the exception of possibly Baltimore, because Baltimore is different. They use their personnel a lot different. Kansas City can stretch the field. Houston can stretch the field. In New England, they can put you in a matchup problem. If the Titans are not fully healthy in the secondary, that's the one thing that now they can beat every team, I think, with the exception of Baltimore, if everybody's healthy. And then even Baltimore, they will give them a run for their money. And I think Baltimore wins because they would be playing in Baltimore.
Do they match up? How do they match up with Baltimore?
I don't think they match up well with Baltimore. For the simple fact is Baltimore is a tight end run based team.
But Kevin Byard, Jayon Brown, those guys are good covering tight ends.
Those guys can't. The way that they use these tight ends, because not only do I got to worry about the tight ends if I'm those guys, I got to worry about the quarterback running and the running back running. That's what makes this offense so hard to defend. Is that, say if you had to play Baltimore, Kevin Byard in Brown. Not only do I got a key to run, I mean, not only I got to watch these tight ends, I got a key to run and a quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think you – listen.
Yeah, that is hard to do.
I don't think they would beat Baltimore, so I'm not – I'm basically grasping at straws here, trying to figure out how they match up with them. And there are some things you can like about the matchup, mm-hmm. but, like, you look at the matchup with the Steelers, you like that. You look at the matchup with – even the Texans will find out more about their matchup because, again, that's a very different team than Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. Far different. A quarterback who's just as dynamic – but wants to sling it all the way all around the field mm-hmm. to a bunch of receivers. Well, that's where the Titans are injured right now, is in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't expect the Texans to be able to run the football much against this team.
Well, Texans are not a good running team.
It's a totally opposite sort of feel than the Baltimore Ravens. The Patriots don't scare me right now at all on offense, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
No, but, they don't, because they don't do anything great anymore.
They're good on defense.
Their defense is exceptional. Yeah. But their offense, it just doesn't scare you anymore. They're not the – now, listen, I wouldn't count New England out. I mean,
of course not.
I can just as easily see them in AFC Championship game again, but
at your own risk.
They don't scare you from an offensive standpoint the way they did years past.
No,
but their defense does.
Tyrekus wants to chime in. Always welcome to the show, Tyrekus. What's up, man?
Man, that was quick. Man, I called, man. Yeah, look, man, I'm proud, man. That was quick.
I get right to you, man. I got good short space agility.
Man, crazy, man. I feel like I paid something. So, look, man, this is my question, man. I know it's going to be a dumb question, man, but dare to tell, man, no such thing as a dumb question. But listen, if the Titans beat the Texans Sunday, man, and then I realized the Texans got Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay can score some points. And I ain't gonna lie, I feel like the Tampa Bay Bucs can beat the Texans again. And if we beat the New Orleans Saints, I think we'll be 10-5. Or no, yeah, we'll be 10-5, and the Texans will be what 8-7, I think. Or mm-hmm. yeah,
that,
8-7.
That would make that game almost irrelevant.
Yeah, that last game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I was wondering, could we rest our starters, man? I mean, if we clinch it by week 15. If we clinched it by week, because I ain't going to lie, man, you can't lie. Derrick Henry beat up, A.J. Brown beat up. We want these guys to be fresh going in. I'm going to hang up and listen.
I mean, that'd be great.
Well, listen,
of course you'd want to do that.
If you win this game and then you beat New Orleans and, say, Houston then lose to Tampa, Houston's out of it. They're done as far as winning the division. If your spot is solidified in regards to you are the fifth seed, no matter if you lose the last game or not, you are still the fifth seed, no matter what.
Well, if you're winning the division, the worst you could be is four. But
yeah, but I'm saying
if you're set
in your seed, like you won a division, you're going to host the game, so it doesn't matter what happens. I would, if I'm Vrabel, I would think about then resting Derrick Henry.
Unless, and this is crazy to think about. Unless, and I don't know if it's possible, although New England lost, if somehow you could get to that two seed, if the Chiefs are also the two seed. Because the Chiefs have the tiebreaker over the Patriots, and you have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs. I don't think you can get to the two seed. But right now, anything's possible. As we said weeks ago, we wouldn't be surprised at 4-0. We wouldn't be surprised at 0-4. And right now, they're 1-0, and they got three to go, and we'll see what it looks like. So we'll continue this conversation. The text line, 615-737-1025. I had an interesting question or an interesting answer, a question about how the guy that deserves the least amount of credit for all this is John Robinson, and I could not disagree more. So we can get into that a little bit when we return. Also, already have answers rolling in on our giveaway today, the $100 gift card for A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. Give us your the best strategy, so to speak, for removing people from your house after hosting a Christmas party. The actual wording here, at 1025_MD, after hosting a Christmas or any other party at your house, what is the best strategy to kick people out? And one person on Twitter said, Steven said, run out of alcohol. Alonda Alonda says, I change the party music to classical and start cleaning. Luke says, my grandfather on his 70th wedding anniversary during his speech said, thank you. Now if you was visiting someone, now would be a good time to leave. He just gave a speech and said, get the hell out. My favorite one so far, though, Wyatt on Twitter says, tell everybody the cops are coming. That feels like a young person's strategy.
Yeah, that's a young person's strategy.
Like at my house, no one's going to believe that. Like they'll all be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm just going to start running because it seems like whenever you run, people figure out why you're running. So then everybody runs out and then bam, everybody's out of there. So I'll say the cops are coming, then run, and then everybody else will run with me. There you go. That's how you get them out of your house.
And somebody who doesn't have Twitter but went down to the text line said, just start put all the food up and start cleaning. That's an easy one, too.
Yeah, that
is. But he
is.
Didn't send it on Twitter, so he's not eligible. Got to send it on
Twitter.
Got to
send it on
Twitter. At 1025_MD, what is the best strategy to get people out of your house after the Christmas and or other party is wrapped up? I do want to talk about the John Robinson situation, though. Somebody asked on the text line, well, the person who gets the least amount of credit is John Robinson. I could not disagree with that more. So let's get to John Robinson's influence on where this team is sitting right now. When we return, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 7 to 9:30 a.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, Chris Sanders, live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, as well as our studios here, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Text line is open, 615-737-1025. And somebody said the person who gets the least amount of credit for this is John Robinson. And to which I would say, when Marcus Mariota was drafted and the roster that he was drafted onto in 2015, I'm not sure it looks anything like the roster they're on now. So in a large picture, four-year build, John Robinson has done a masterful job. There's been misses. You're GM. You're not going to get hit on every single draft pick and every single free agent. But if you look at why this team has turned around this year, what are some of the main reasons? Well, number one is Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And John Robinson acquired Ryan Tannehill for basically nothing and got the Miami Dolphins to pay for it, mm-hmm. basically. So if you want to talk about the turnaround based on Tannehill, then John Robinson is who gets all of that credit because he got the Dolphins to pay for five of his $7 million contract and got him for basically nothing. I think, what, a fourth-round pick next year or something like that? He's the one who drafted all of the guys who have developed into stars: Jayon Brown, Kevin Byard, Rashawn Evans, Jeffrey Simmons. Go down the list of guys that have Harold Landry is turning into a really big time player. Like, he's the guy who built all of that. He's the guy who drafted AJ Brown. All the draft picks are developing. You know, the free agent signing, Big Raj. Okay, it wasn't great, but it's getting better. And then you look at the bottom third of the roster. Ty Smith making plays, Dane Cruikshank making plays, mm-hmm. Austin Johnson making plays, you know, Khalif Raymond making plays. That's John Robinson too. So I don't know how you look at this team and not say that John Robinson's fingerprints are everywhere.
When a team such as the Titans, when they sort of have this resurgence, it's not just one guy. It's not just one guy that should take all of the glory, or, you know, the pat on the backs, the kudos. It's not just one guy who should get all of the glory. It's just like losing. It's not just one guy that should be the GOAT in all of this. You know, it's not one guy that should be, you know, the one reason why this team lost. There's a bunch of things that happen during the course of a game or course of games that causes a team to lose. And it's not just based upon one person. Now, I've always said sometimes the quarterbacks get too much blame, or sometimes they get too much of the praise. Head coach is the same way. But there's no way in this scenario you can say that this is not a collective effort. You can say, well, John Robinson shouldn't get any of the credit. Now,
but isn't he responsible for the collective?
Yeah. Is he the end-all, be-all? No. But he had a hand in this roster, keeping Khalif Raymond, bringing in other guys, bringing in Tannehill, making moves that we thought were like, man, why did he do that? And then end up it working out at the end of the season, especially now, you know, drafting Jeffrey Simmons. Why did you draft Jeffrey Simmons? He's hurt. You know, well, look at what he's doing now. Right. So everyone has their share of, you know, of benefit. Everyone benefits in what the Tennessee Titans are doing now, from the GM to the equipment guy. Everyone has a hand in the way this team is playing now, because a team doesn't go on a run like this if there's cracks in the armor.
Yep.
It just doesn't. And I'm talking, and believe me, I've been through it. I'm talking the guys and the girls in the lunchroom that are serving lunches and making your food, to Joey and Haas. No, seriously, to all those guys.
How much the footballs are deflated?
Yeah, to the equipment, I mean, to the trainers. Everybody has a hand in where this team is at now. Everybody. Because it all works together. If there's a chink in the armor, it will show up.
Yeah.
Everybody's working on the same accord right now. Everything is going well right now. So does John Robinson get all the credit? No. But he damn sure well gets some. You got to give him some.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's
he was a part of putting this thing together.
Yeah, I mean, we give David Poyle credit.
Yeah. I put together – here, I'm giving you this team. This is a team that I feel can win. You coach them.
Stop using rationale and logic to explain things, Derek. Don't do that. This is sports talk radio. We're supposed to just yell about stuff.
You know, everybody deserves some credit in this whole thing. Now, some guys get more credit than the others.
Sure.
But everybody deserves credit when a team is on a win streak and playing the way that they're playing.
I agree. And so, listen, it's Tannehill number one for me. It's Vrabel, the offensive line, the Dean Pease, you know, in that second category. I think John Robinson's in that group. Then you start working your way down to Derek. You know, Derek Henry is at the top of the list as well of guys that deserve credit for why this thing is happening and what's going on right now. So, listen, it's all working, and it's all working really, really well. We'll see what happens against the Houston Texans coming up on Sunday, which is going to be one of the biggest games in modern Nissan Stadium history as two teams in first place.
Modern Nissan Day history.
Well, you know,
is it the most important game?
Well, to me, when I say modern, I mean like of the newest, of the new regime, sort of.
Okay.
Like since John Robinson took over.
Oh, yeah, you're
right.
You know,
like it wasn't, you know, there's not really an old history of Nissan Stadium. There just is modern history. So I'm trying to delineate between y'all's era, right, when y'all were playing versus what
this is the most.
There's a Chris Johnson era,
the most,
you know,
important game of the John Robinson era,
probably at that stadium. Yeah. And Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel begged people to come to the stadium. So we'll see what the building looks like. Our Twitter question of the day: to win a $100 gift card from A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa, we're giving one of those away each and every single day this week and next at 1025_MD. And the question is: how do you get people out of your house when you're after hosting a Christmas or other type of party? Sir Merciless on Twitter says the best strategy to remove people from the party: get up and give a speech. Thank you all. It's been a wonderful evening, but these pants are coming off. And then proceed to take your pants off.
What if there's kids around?
I mean, that'd be inappropriate.
Yeah.
I would say it'd be inappropriate if there were anybody around. Paul on Twitter says, use the downstairs half bathroom with the door open and loudly demand that your guests run into the pantry to grab extra toilet paper because the shrimp cocktail you served may or may not have been expired.
Oh, my goodness. That's bad.
Let's say, Scott says, serve a dinner high in fiber.
Uh-huh. They only have one bathroom.
Ryan, pull out trash bags and ask who wants to help clean up.
Oh, yeah. That might get some people to stay, though.
No, wait, dude, you're not. Derek, I've known you long enough.
If
you're at my house.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to help clean
you're
up.
You're going to help me?
Yes.
You would?
Yes, I help clean up. I've been to many places where they start pulling out. I help because I help make the mess. So I start picking it up.
Maybe you are a nice guy after all. Adam on Twitter says, or give the speech, before you guys go, just let me say this was the best party we've had yet, despite what happened to the car in the driveway.
Oh, wow. Oh, snap.
People are just vicious with the trickery here. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Mr. Penguin says, unplug the Christmas tree and give a 2-minute warning and then cut the power off.
That's what I was just thinking. If you cut the power off and be like, man, the lights went out. And everybody got to go?
Swaggy Knuckles says,
wow,
you simply put the start and end time on the invitation. Then you don't have to assign them cleanup duty.
You're right. That's the best. It starts at, I don't know, 6 and ends at 10.
Tundra Man says, start a fake argument with your wife.
Ooh, that gets everybody.
Everybody's
out.
Like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. I think it's time to go. So, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, right? Like, you look over at your date, and you're like,
it's time to go.
What's going on here? All right, so the tweets are rolling in at 1025_MD. Keep tweeting. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show, so make sure you're listening in about the 9:30, 9:45 territory this evening or this morning when we get through that. There's some other news yesterday in the world of football, and no, it doesn't involve the Patriots cheating. Although we will get to that next hour. The Heisman finalists have been announced. Was it the right group? And is there really a point to even talking about the Heisman Trophy at all this year? We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive.
Again, I need to tell you out there, my men, are you listening? I know you are because you're listening to this show. And I know we have a lot of women listeners. So if your husband's not listening or your boyfriend's not listening, this is what you need to tell him. you need to tell him to go visit Cool Springs MD, because over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, his wonderful wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system. It's a little rainy outside. I got a little sniffles. I know there are some men out there that are starting to come down with some cold. Your immune system is breaking down. Your energy levels are low. Your cognitive functions is all over the place. And anything else that's wrong with you, then you can go see the good folks at Cool Springs MD, because they are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time than now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. What are you waiting on, men? What are you waiting on? The time is now. The day is here. This is what you need to do. Make an appointment. Call Cool Springs MD today, not tomorrow, not after Christmas, not after the New Year's, but right now. Here's the number, 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit our website, coolspringsmd.com.
Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night Smashville Live. We'll be in Bellevue at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, located at 8016 Highway 100. And the show starts at 7 p.m. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here. Preds back on the ice tonight, pregame 6, puck drop 7, right here, of course, on ESPN 102.5 The Game, as they pick up 2 points against the Devils on Saturday and look to keep that winning streak going. And the text line, of course, is open. You can always approach the show that way at 615-737-1025. And our Twitter contest for our Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, $100 gift card today, has gotten a lot of interesting responses. How do you get people out of your house when hosting a party? You know, people host Christmas parties this time of year, Derek. Even though you don't like people at your house,
absolutely,
people do actually host parties occasionally.
No, I've had parties at my house. Not many.
I wasn't invited.
Not many, but I have parties at my house.
You got to respond at Twitter, at 1025 underscore MD if you would like to enter to win. There's a lot of people texting, which is good. We like that. But to win, you got to go to the Twitters.
Yes, you got to go to the Twitter sphere.
So, Heisman Trophy finalists have been announced. That will be, shockingly, Joe Burrow, along with Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, mm-hmm. Ohio State defensive end Chase Young, who set a record for sacks in a season with 16.5 for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and then Jalen Hurts, quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners. What's fascinating about this is I think you can make a case for like 3 or 4 other guys to be finalists as well. Derek mm-hmm. Brown at Auburn, I thought, was as dominant as Chase Young was. But he didn't win a championship, so I think that's sort of his flaw. But Derek Brown was just unstoppable for Auburn this year. Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins could have been in that list. Jonathan Taylor, running back mm-hmm. for Wisconsin, could have been on that list. So many great players that could have been on that Heisman Trophy list. And it does feel like it's a foregone conclusion. I am not allowed, as a voter, I'm not allowed to give you my
Tua, had he finished vote. The season.
I think you could argue Tua still belongs because had he been healthy, and we did not talk about this yesterday, but we mm-hmm. could get into it now. Had Tua been healthy, you don't think he's worth 3 points against Auburn?
Of course.
Which means they beat Auburn.
Uh-huh.
Which means they're 11-1, and I guarantee you they're ahead of Oklahoma, and they're in the playoff right now.
Oh, yeah. If they don't lose to Auburn, they're in the playoff with Tua.
If they're healthy with Tua, they're in the playoff right now.
Yeah, I believe so, too.
Which doesn't that prove Tua's value?
No, it does prove to how value. You could just see, based upon, the 2 games that they played in, his value is high in regards to, Alabama beating the upper echelon teams, the Auburns, the LSUs. If they had to play Clemson or Georgia, they need Tua. Now, they can beat, the rest of these teams with Mac Jones at quarterback, but if you want to be a playoff team, then Tua has to be a quarterback. So I'm surprised he's still not, because his numbers are great.
You know who else's numbers are great and not getting any conversation? Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
You could argue he's a top 5 candidate for the Heisman.
Yeah, I think what hurt him is the way he played early on.
I feel like that's the only games people watched.
Yeah. You might be right. You might be right. The way he played early on. And I think what happened to him is sort of what happened to Andrew Luck. You know he's great. You know you would take him over any player. But it's just...
Right.
It's just something.
It's Nick Saban not winning Coach of the Year.
Exactly.
Is what it is. We know Nick Saban's the best coach.
Uh-huh.
We know he did the best job this year because his team's the best. But you never give it to the guy who won the championship. Although Coach O probably wins it this year. Mm-hmm. But that's because he overachieved.
Absolutely.
So Trevor Lawrence, again, Joe Burrow is probably the number one pick in the draft this year in 2020. Mm-hmm. But Trevor Lawrence, I still think, is the better overall player. He's the better overall talent. And you've been on the Joe Burrow train since the beginning.
Oh,
right, of course. Right now to start your NFL team, Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow?
To start my NFL team right now, gosh.
It's like you're two, like, this
yeah,
is like
you can't go wrong
it's like
with
your two
either
children.
Guy. Do you, wow. You know what? If they both were coming out. I think they both are 1-2. I think they're both top picks in the draft. I think it's like, who do you draft? Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck? That's basically what you're saying. Who do you draft, Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck?
And neither one of these guys is Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, neither one is Ryan Leaf.
They
so
both love the game. And
who do you draft, Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck? You can't go wrong with either one.
I mean, knowing what we know now about Luck's injury history and the retirement, it's easy to say Peyton.
Exactly.
But at the time.
Yeah, so who do you.
When they came out, they were both like. You could argue
transcendent players, but Andrew Luck might have been.
You could argue Luck was more of a number one pick than Peyton was. Because Peyton, there was debate about Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
There was a lot more debate than people realized. That the Colts waffled and went back and forth. And until the meetings when they actually sat down and Peyton came in with like a 30-year plan for how he's going to like win 16 Super Bowls.
Uh-huh.
They said, oh, this guy likes football a little bit more than Ryan Leaf. We're going to go with him instead. And that was the deciding factor. Otherwise, they were even.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck was, you know, he came out with Robert Griffin. And I think there was some conversation about Bob being selected pretty highly. But I think it was pretty much Andrew Luck. I like them all. I like both Burrow and Lawrence. I would lean Trevor Lawrence if I had to take
I think I would too. I think Burrow's going to be great. I think both quarterbacks are going to struggle because they're going to go to bad teams for a bit. But I'm taking Lawrence. But it's just like.
You feel really bad, don't you?
Yeah, I feel bad because I got to take Lawrence.
Is it safe
real bad.
To say, though?
Who would you take?
I'd probably take Trevor Lawrence because I think about it like this. If Joe Burrow is Deshaun Watson, then I think Trevor Lawrence can be like Patrick Mahomes. So we just got to figure out who's the Trubisky of the group.
Tua?
Maybe Fromm.
That was just a shot at our Nike outlet employee back.
Maybe
there.
Fromm.
In the back.
Definitely am a Nike outlet.
We have not talked about this.
Jake Fromm is the Trubisky.
But Jake Fromm's not going to get drafted in the first round. In fact, you know what else I think? I think Jake Fromm comes back.
I think he does too.
I think he comes back. Yeah. I think the way his seasons have ended the last few years and the way that offense played this year, I think he comes back with something to prove next year.
Yeah, he has to.
I think he does. So is Marquise going to like his second job after the show today?
I think so.
Do you have a key around a neck? Like what are those things called? Like a key chain around
the
your
key
neck?
Key chain.
You know what
thing.
I'm talking about?
Well, yeah,
with shoelace. It's like a shoelace that has like a set of keys
with
on it.
A fob on there or something, so you can get in the back where the shoes are.
Did you wear one? So I used to have those. Like I had my keys on one of those long, loopy things when I was in high school.
Mm.
With my baggy pants and baggy shirt.
Yeah, I didn't have that. I didn't.
So, Mark, you know how I feel about man code violations here. And I think wearing two items of the same sports team is a violation. Like, if you wear a Predators hat with a Predators shirt, I don't think that looks good. I don't think wearing a Titans hat with a Titans shirt looks good. Definitely not a Tennessee orange hat and a Tennessee orange shirt. That just looks terrible. Alabama hat, Alabama shirt. I don't think it looks good. Mm-hmm. Two items of the same team on your body at the same time is a violation. He is wearing a green Nike hat that matches his green Nike shirt.
Just do it.
And I asked you during the break a couple of segments ago, is this a violation of man code, or is he just going to work at the Nike outlet at Opryland?
He's just going to Opryland.
Which I shop at a lot. I like that place.
He going to Nike outlet at Opryland after this.
Who is this a violation for, though?
You.
This is Brady's
violation. I'm worried
about you. Yeah.
How?
I'm worried about you.
This is fresh, actually. This is fresh.
Derek.
And I got Nike shoes on, by the way.
Well, she was
just laughing because he said this is, he used the word
this
fresh.
Is fresh.
He used the word fresh.
Which was cool when?
1980. And Munson was not born in 80.
It wasn't the dope Prince of Bel Air.
No, fresh Prince of Bel Air. Dope is back in. So meaning dope the word back. Dope. Using the word dope, like, man, that's dope.
No, you didn't mean like actual drugs.
Yeah, I didn't mean actual drugs.
Look, man, I'm matching. This looks good, man.
In the dope show.
Yeah.
This looks good. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but
thank you.
Derek, I'm not a good judge of this.
I mean,
would you walk out of the house like that?
Would I don't, I'm not a hat person, so I definitely wouldn't walk
Marquise
out.
Marquise is definitely a hat guy.
Yeah, he's a hat guy. I definitely wouldn't walk out the door with a hat on, unless it's like a toboggan, skull cap, whatever you want to
you
call
do wear
it.
The, you do wear the skull cap. Yeah. You know what it looks like. It looks, you're really taking on the personality of Munson, the name Munson. You look dressed like a Munson.
I don't even know what that means. What
I don't either.
Mean?
I don't either.
What does that even mean? You're dressed there like go a Munson.
There go Munson.
I mean,
listen, I'll come by. Song. Can you give me a discount at the store later if I come by and get some shoes?
Yeah, let me just swipe my employee card. I got you. I'll hook you up. I got to go to the back and see if they got your size, but I definitely can hook you up.
Oh,
no,
it's the outlet store. They're all out in front. Like, I just look at the wall and find the size. You don't even need to do that for me. Mm. I just need the discount, man. Just hook me up.
Quickly, if I had, because you can't. You can't divulge your picks
in regards to your
Heisman. But if I had to pick right now, I would have Tua in it. I think I would take out Chase Young. I would have
Who
Tua
would be
in
your
it.
Three? Because you can only fill out a ballot for three.
My three would be obviously Fields, Burrow,
and Tua.
That my three.
I will say
that's
interesting.
I don't know. I Hurts has put up big numbers, but
he's made
has
a lot
struggled,
of mistakes.
But
yeah.
He has struggled. If you put my thing is if you put Chase Young in there and Chase Young missed what 2-3 games, then why isn't Tua in there?
And Chase Young was largely irrelevant in the Michigan game.
Mm-hmm.
He wrecked a few games. Like, dude, destroyed.
He was irrelevant in the Big Ten championship game.
I mean, didn't really. Yeah, I mean, teams figured out how to play against him. They figured out they could double team him, triple team him, chip him, and he was handled relatively well. Again, I think Derek Brown impacts the play every single play.
That big fella, man. I'm telling
you. He impacts every play. Like, I would take Derek Brown over Chase Young, and I love Young.
The way I told you guys this a while back, the way the NFL is going, I am taking Brown over Chase Young because these quarterbacks are getting smart. They're saying, I just step up in the pocket and deliver the football. I know how to handle these edge rushers now. Step up, deliver the football. Well, if Big Brown is coming at me, I can't step up. There you go.
You have made that point many, many times on the show.
I'm taking Brown.
I think Tua will get a first-round vote. From someone.
First place vote?
Yeah, first place vote. Excuse me. Yeah. I really think
he
would.
I wouldn't be surprised
at that. Yeah, me.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because, I mean, technically he did miss three games. The Mississippi State, like, first half doesn't count. He played pretty well in that. They were pretty much winning comfortably.
They were
going to
take him out anyway.
They're
going to
take him out anyway. So that kind of
shouldn't have played in the game. That's the problem.
But that still kind of counts as a game. So he missed three
balled
games.
Out against LSU.
Yes.
On how much? What percent was he in that game? 75%.
Yeah. Basically, he 60%? limped off the field afterwards. So
right.
Like I think
if
you're
going 4.5 bills,
if you're going to put Chase Young in the conversation and he missed the same amount of games as Tua and had less of an impact in certain big games
and not for injury for being sort of dumb.
Yeah.
Although,
exactly.
Although, now we may hate the rule. We all kind of disagree with the rule. A player should be able to take a little money from an agent, maybe.
Exactly.
But like, it's a rule, and you broke the rule, and you got suspended. So.
I wouldn't be surprised if he get a first place vote. Like Jonathan Taylor got one last year.
I agree.
And so I think he will.
I'm telling you guys, I really struggled with the ballot. I really struggled. It was really difficult.
I'm just trying to figure out why isn't Tua, again, like why isn't Tua there?
So the way it works, and how about this? I'll explain how the Heisman voting works and why people get selected as finalists and who goes to New York and who doesn't. And I'll explain some of that. We'll also read some more of these how to get people out of your house at a party tweets. Mm-hmm. To get that Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, that's coming up as well. So we got a lot of fun stuff to go. And, like, we've got new coaches in the SEC everywhere now. The SEC's got new guys. What do we think of the hires from Missouri, Ole Miss, Arkansas? What does that do to the SEC landscape? We got a lot of stuff to do when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. ESPN 102.5 The Game is bringing you The Road to Dallas, Nashville's best coverage of the Winter Classic. Keep up with all you need to know about the Winter Classic as the Preds face the Stars in Dallas on New Year's Day. Special programming and live coverage from Dallas all month long. Hit up thegamenashville.com for full programming information. The Road to Dallas is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Preds back on the ice tonight. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7 against the San Jose Sharks. Text line is open as well, 615-737-1025. We sort of debuted that just this week, I guess Friday, maybe last week, and it is working extremely well. However, if you want to win the gift card, $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa, you got to tweet at 1025_MD. That's the Morning Drive Twitter account there. Give us a follow and give us your best strategy for getting people out of the house during your Christmas party. I don't know about you, but start a fake argument with your wife is from Tundra Man. That might be near the top of the list. I like the use the powder bathroom downstairs with the door open and ask for toilet paper. That's a really good one.
Actually, I like the arguing with you. I'm not married or anything, but when I'm with my friends and they start arguing with their girlfriend, y'all just want me to go? No, you stay, Marquise, you stay.
Listen to all of our little issues, okay? Please. Andy on Twitter says, pull out the board and easel and turn it into an Amway meeting. You find two friends and they find two friends. Yeah, that'll get people out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Lead by example. Leave your own house with everyone in it. I'd be too concerned about that.
Yeah.
I'd be too worried that people will just stick around and like ruin my stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that.
quote, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here. Just tell people that. I think it's my wife's grandfather that used to, when they were at Christmas parties, would always, right around the time that the witching hour for young children, right around that 5 o'clock time, and you get to a place where the kids start to break down a little bit. The meltdown's coming. You can see it starting to come on the kids that are hungry. And the grandfather would just always say, all right, looks like it's about time for you guys to head home. And then my wife's mom would gather her four children up and get out of her father's house.
Yeah, there you go.
Just, all right, guys, looks like it's about time for you guys to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a close family gathering, you could do that.
Yeah,
you can just say, hey, all right, y'all got to get out of here. It's the friends in the office place that you got to be a little bit more strategic about things. But again, at 1025_MD for that as well. New coaches in the SEC. Missouri has hired Eli Drinkwitz from Appalachian State. He was the offensive coordinator at NC State for a few years under Dave Doran. The offense was spectacular there. NC State was terrible this year on offense. He went to App State when they went 12-1. They're ranked conference championship. Obviously, Scott Satterfield built that thing, who is now the head coach at Louisville. But I think Eli Drinkwitz, of all the coaching hires, Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss is spectacular, but for like other reasons.
Yeah.
Sam Pittman is an excellent offensive line coach who got the job at Arkansas. He's an excellent offensive line coach and a great recruiter. I think being the head coach in the SEC West is, he has been promoted beyond the point of competency, I think. I don't think he's going to win there. But I really like the Eli Drinkwitz hire at Missouri. I think it's outside the box, it's offense, and I think it affects the SEC East far more than people think.
Yeah, I'm interested. You know, this whole Lane Kiffin thing, I think it will be, I think it's going to work out. Now, again, will they, you know, be one of the, will they challenge LSU, Auburn, Alabama? No.
In recruiting, they might.
Yeah, in recruiting, He will muddy up the waters.
Oh God!
On the recruiting trail. Yeah, that's where Lane Kiffin is going to. Just imagine if you're in heaven already.
If you had to trail
like the coaches on a recruiting trail, like the best player in the country, you were in his living room. Every day, well, on when each coach comes through there, and we're just talking SEC coaches.
Oh God,
how great would it be to be in that room once Nick Saban leaves and Lane Kiffin comes in? How great do you think that would be?
I got a jar of popcorn and a beer. I'm sitting there with my heels up.
Oh my goodness. Just knowing that Lane Kiffin goes into your house after Nick Saban leaves.
We all knew this was coming, right?
Yeah.
Like when he left USC and he was hired by Alabama, like we all knew. eventually this was going to happen one day.
Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss is a decent program. They, you know, Hugh Freeze showed that you could win even if you're cheating. I don't expect, you know, listen, everybody's cheating in the SEC. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Lane's just going to push the envelope a little bit more. He's going to be a little bit more vocal about everything. He's gonna stir it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a fecal agitator, as Crispy says. And that's what he's going to do. He's just going to stir it all up. It's what he did at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was the most relevant Tennessee had probably been nationally, you know, in the last 15 years was 2009, other than maybe the 1 year that Josh Dobbs and Derek Barnett was close to winning the SEC East. Even then, I don't think they were making as many headlines as Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make headlines at Ole Miss. They may not be all the ones you want, mm-hmm. but they're going to make headlines. And it will be interesting, and it will be fun to watch.
Well, yeah, it's going to be fun. Lane's, and I mean, Ole Miss has some talent. So just think.
Two good quarterbacks.
You know, you go into a situation, he knows offenses, so this is going to be a high-scoring offense. Now, whether he can get the defense, you know, to catch up with the offense quickly, that's a different story. But he's going to put up a bunch of points. That's one thing I think Lane Kiffin's going to do. He's going to put up a bunch of points. He's going to surprise people by getting those guys that we thought were going to go to Alabama or Georgia.
There'll be a couple.
There are going to be a few that ends up going with Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
At Ole Miss. So
the problem is, here's the problem though. It's not just him versus Lane. It's not just Lane versus Nick.
Yeah.
Now you have Coach O with the LSU mm-hmm. thing rolling, which we know they can recruit. Jimbo Fisher's recruiting top five classes at A&M like crazy. You know, Gus is obviously staying at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to Arkansas. And what does that look like moving forward? They recruit like crazy. You're still in this deep, treacherous, shark-infested SEC recruiting waters. But you know who loves swimming in those waters?
The Lane train.
Land shark, baby. Land shark.
I think what he does is just, he just pour blood all over him and just get in the water. He loves it.
He's chum. He actually is human form of shark chum. That's what he is.
He loves it, though. He loves it.
Dude, did you see the video of him getting off the plane? He's just being mobbed by fans. Like, he's a rock star.
He's just
a rock star, and for no other reason than being a troll. Yeah.
And he was asked about that at his press conference. Here's what he had to say.
Talk about the reception you received from the fan base. Did you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you got off the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had.
Shots fired.
For those that don't know that story, when he was the head coach at USC, he got fired. They lost it. They gave up like a 60 spot to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
And he got, like, literally, and think about what this would look like. Imagine like Derek Mason and Vanderbilt. They play at South Carolina, and they all are headed to the airport to get on the plane. Every player of an 85 scholarship, 100-man roster, you know, all kinds of equipment people and doctors and radio broadcasters, and everybody gets on a plane. And then it's like the coach and the AD standing on the tarmac outside the plane. Just imagine what that would look like if you're on the plane and you're looking out the window like, hey, why isn't Coach getting on the plane with us?
Yeah,
and then the AD comes on the plane and goes, he's no longer the head coach. That's what happened to Lane Kiffin at USC. They fired him on the tarmac when they lost to Arizona State before flying back to Los Angeles.
Gosh.
So kissing babies already in Oxford, folks.
That is
Lane Kiffin back in the SEC.
Should we feel – is that – that's bad, isn't it?
It's clean. I mean, it makes a clean break.
But
find your way home, Lane. You got to book your own flight.
No, I'm wishing for success for Lane.
Of that.
I want my man Lane to go into the SEC and just wreck havoc. Beat everybody except LSU. I'm a big LSU fan.
Like LSU,
I love old Coach O, man.
Everybody loves Coach O.
Yeah. Lane's coming to
man. Lane Kiffin. I will say this. It will be overlooked. I think Sam Pittman is a difficult hire to sell to me at Arkansas. He's an offensive line coach.
Job is tough.
It's
though.
Tough, and I don't think an offensive line coach is going to succeed there. Brett Bielema didn't. Here's the thing. I do think Eli Drinkwitz it's going to fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people are going to talk about it. Not a lot of people are going to know about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who he was a part of the development of all those guys at NC State. That team that beat Florida State and sent all those guys to the NFL, you know, Nehemiah Hines playing for the Colts right now, and you know, all these guys. Eli Drinkwitz is a very savvy, sneaky good hire from Missouri. We'll see what that's the one. You know, I'm going to watch Lane Kiffin because it's like must see TV. But you know that like that cool Netflix show that nobody's watching. That's Eli Drinkwitz. Like that's I think it could be really dangerous in the SEC East. Is Missouri? We'll find out. All right, we'll get back to the Tennessee Titans and the NFL cheating back in the news, and you'll be shocked to find out who's involved. We'll get to that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.